Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Wednesday night edition of The Yard. It's been a busy day, and I'll explain that to you just in a little bit. I had a long, long conversation with Zach Selman today. That is now a free article over at jeanspage.com. Due to the importance of the content, we made that free. You know, a lot of times we put things like that, exclusive interviews, behind a paywall. But I felt like, you know what, there's been a lot going on, and I think you folks need to hear from your athletic director. So we set up a meeting today. I was able to get in there and spend over an hour with Zach. And there's some things we talked about off the record, too. You know, and some things that I shared with him that have been passed along to me from some of you. I shared that with him directly. Some of you on Facebook know exactly what I'm talking about. Just some things on game day that you've seen and experienced. And, you know, I thought, you know what, I want to make sure that he gets these suggestions and complaints, right? Guys, the dialogue is important. The dialogue is important. We can't just talk about how great we're doing, and we are doing some amazing things. But in order for us to truly get better, we have to embrace negative feedback. I talk to my staff about that all the time. When people say, hey, man, I wish we had more basketball content. Well, you know what? We got to allocate some more people to go work on that. You know, hey, Steve, I wish we had more of this, more of that. Well, you know, you got to give people what they want. I'm a firm believer in that. But you can't give everybody everything they want because we're not all going to agree. We're going to talk a little bit about that more later in the show. Listen, many of you have already received your copies of The Dude. I've already started getting some reviews. Some of you have not received your copies yet. And so I was apprised today that the final pre-orders have been shipped. I guess there may be, you know, one or two that didn't get out. There's some, when people buy, you know, several books, they have to construct a box. You know, it's not as just putting it into a, you know, a mailing sleeve and putting it in the mail. When there's that many box, there's some many books, there is some special shipping and handling that has to occur. And again, I have a lot of people that message me. And I understand, listen, you're just eager to get your books. I'm not upset about that, okay? But I want to make sure you understand, your best option is to email the dutynoblebook.com website. And listen, they may not be immediately responsive. They will get caught up, hopefully by the end of the day. They have been absolutely overwhelmed with you and your purchases. And we're talking thousands of books that have had to go out over the course of the last couple of weeks, I guess 10 days or so, whatever it is nowadays. But yeah, appreciate your patience and your understanding. I know it's frustrating. I know. And as soon as I order something from Amazon, I'm already like tracking the order. Like as soon as it says your order has been received, what's my tracking number? You know, I get it. Okay. And then, you know, my hope is like when you see other people posting on Facebook or Twitter that they have their books, that it would be, you know, kind of some affirmation. Oh, well, you know, they're getting them shipped out. Mine will be here. And everybody's been great. I mean, nobody's been rude or anything like that. But you know, some people see it and it's, oh, I'm so eager to get mine. And it's a great thing. Okay. So you're not bothering me, but you're going to get a better answer from emailing the dutynoblebook.com website. Because here's what has to happen. When it gets to me, and it may be 24, 36, 48 hours before I see your message, and you think I'm ignoring you. But the truth of the matter is like this time of year, it is difficult with me to keep up with Facebook messages because I get so many. Okay, that's not a humble brag, But at times like these, you know, I got people hit me up. Hey, Steve, we want to carry the book. Who do we contact? Steve, we want to set up a book signing. Who do we contact? Steve, we'd like for you to come speak. And I don't keep my calendar, thank God, when it comes to that kind of stuff. I love Janet. I appreciate her so much. She takes care of so many things for me. But all that understood, it gets overwhelming, and there'll be times that's all that I would do. Like, and so when I get caught up and I get a chance to sit for a minute, I will scroll through those. But the chances of you getting a response are better through the Dirty Noble book website, because here's what happens. When I get the message, you know, my immediate response is going to be, hey, just give it a couple days. If you hadn't heard back, hit me up. And then I need your order number, and then I have to contact them. And then at that point, like I'm done being a middleman, okay? Because here's what happens, then they're going to contact you anyway. And so contacting me doesn't expedite the process. That's really, in a nice way, what I'm trying to say, is that your best bet is to contact them. I've said it four times now. So I'm going to correct that. But contact dirtynoblebook.com. And some folks, listen, and God bless them, right? They're just so eager to get their book. And I think some people think that, like, I am doing this, that I am responsible for everything. I mean, honest to goodness, and I say this as nicely as I can, with all the things that I have to write on a daily basis to cover Mississippi State, in addition to doing this show, do you think I have time to run a shipping operation, for a book that's had thousands of orders already? I don't. I just don't have time for that. I don't have a staff for that. And so I actually have a publisher. Contrary to the belief of Ole Miss Twitter, I am not a self-published author. I have self-published one book, and that was the book of poetry. And that's just because something that I wanted to do, some friends of mine encouraged me to do. I just wanted to stay relevant that year. And then lo and behold, we win the NAFL championship, and I end up writing two books that year. So that's where we are with that. And I appreciate your reviews and your comments. And I'm going to share one with you that means a lot to me. All of your reviews matter to me, but this one matters a little bit more. It's a little bit more. And it's from, let's see here. Never mind, I got to do something else. Let's see here. I get a lot of stuff here. Okay, so this is from Frances Amos. And she is Duty Noble's niece. Her mother was Duty's sister. And if you guys have followed the writing process of the dude, Mitzi and Frances, Duty's nieces, two of his nieces, have been invaluable resources to me. And I love those ladies. I do. I absolutely love them. And I'm so glad that they have been a part of my life, not just because of the fact that I had a chance to meet, you know, the family of Duty Noble, but also, too, you know, they've been incredibly good to me through this process, not just with providing information, but support. And I do. I love them. They're great, great ladies. And I'm very fortunate to have them in my life. And to be honest with you, the more I worked on this and the more I got to know them, I realized there were a lot of things they didn't even know, you know, about their uncle. And I just wanted to make them proud. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'm writing this book, and I know Mississippi State people are going to love it because it's going to be new information for so many of them. But it's a little more special when it's your uncle. That somebody's like, hey, I want to dedicate a year of my life and write a book about your uncle. Right? I mean, it's different. And so I eagerly awaited to hear their reviews. And I told them when I brought in their books, I said, listen, if there's anything that's wrong in here, you know, because that's the beauty of the first edition, right? They're a little bit imperfect at times. Then you tell me, and we'll fix it in the next printing, you know, and I apologize for it. And there were a couple of small things. But anyway, Frances sent me this message, and it nearly brought tears to my eyes. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I wanted to share it with all of you. It is one of those things that I will treasure forever. Frances writes, Steve, I haven't written before because I wanted to get into the book. I only read into bed at night, so it takes me a while to finish a book. I haven't finished yet, but I've read through 20 chapters. It is really a remarkable book, and I can't thank you enough for writing it. It is a treasure for the Noble family. After reading chapter 20, it makes me sad to see why some fans never change. And I'll skip the next couple parts. But I'm looking forward to finishing the book soon. Thanks again for showing that Uncle Duty was not the bad guy. And then just a few hours later, she messages back. She said, "I sat here all afternoon and I finished the book. I absolutely love it." And I told her, I said, "I was really proud of the ending." She said, "I loved the ending. It was perfect." I share that with you because I feel like this. If it means so much to somebody that knew him and has loved him, I think it'll mean a lot to you too. And so go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You can order. And, you know, again, they're about to get caught up on online orders. Okay, so if you're out of state or whatever, you want to order to DirtyNobleBook.com, you can. There's a big log jam at the beginning. Then things kind of start flowing. You know, we are going to run out of books before Christmas. I'm just telling you now. So don't delay. But also, too, Lemuria Books there in Jackson has the books. I've started having people send me pictures there. College Corner there in Brandon and Flowood has the book, and they're selling the book. Meridian, the Bulldog Shop, has the book now. I'm going to be there on November 6th, which is next Wednesday, to sign books and meet some of you and see some friends that I see, you know, basically at Mississippi State events and then when we have an opportunity to sign books down there. And, of course, if you're in Starkville, you can get it at Eliza Tie. You can get it at Book Mart and Cafe, Campus Book Mart, Maroon & Company, The Lodge, Barnes & Noble in Starkville, and then Barnes & Noble in Ridgeland. You can get it there, too. And if you're interested in carrying the book and you've got a store, I'm happy to put you in contact with the people that can arrange it for you. But, yeah, there are books out there to be had, and they are selling very quickly. Now, we'll find out on Sunday where the book debuts. I figure somewhere around 4 or 5. Because the very first week that it was in distribution, it was only in one of the reporting stores. And then the next week, it was in a couple reporting stores. So maybe we get to number one at some point. I suspect we will before the holidays. But I didn't write a book just for that. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you it doesn't mean something to me. It does. It does. I've had two number ones. And I think this is the best book that I've ever written. And there's a lot of competition out in the holiday season. There always is. I'm always having to compete with John Grisham, people like that. And Wright Thompson's got a new book out too, you know. So to be number one with that kind of competition in the marketplace would be very special to me. Of course, when Flim Flam debuted, it debuted at number one. And Camino Island from John Grisham had been number one for 33 straight weeks. And we surpassed them in week one. And remained number one, I think, for 5 or 6 weeks. I can't remember. But I have that first one, you know, that newspaper clipping. You know, it says Steve Robertson won, John Grisham too. You know, it's a special thing. I mean, it is. It really is. So I wanted to give you an update on that. I wanted to spend a little time talking about this. I'm extremely, extremely sympathetic to those who hadn't got their books yet. But again, it has been, they've been a little bit overwhelmed. And so just give them a couple more days. And again, if you pre-ordered and you don't have it by the weekend, hit me up and I'll see if we can't. I say hit me up. You can hit me up, but I would prefer if you go through the website. It saves us all some time, okay? I said all that, and then I say, hey, hit me up. No, just contact the website. There are people that are staffed and responsible for responding to your emails. And those first few days, basically the decision was made is, hey, we'll just have to get caught up on emails in a couple days. We got to get these orders out. So, yeah, we're in a good place now. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. Talking of good places, man. I had Bulldog Burger Company a few days ago, and I love it, man. I do. I love it. And I wouldn't do business with people that I didn't respect and admire. You know, I'm not that desperate for income, you know. I just, it's kind of how life works for me. And I love our local vendors. And I love Bulldog Burger Company. And not just because of the fact that they provide such great food at a great price. They provide such a great part of our community. They truly do. The Eat With Us group has done so many wonderful things. Not just for Starkville, but for Mississippi State. They're involved in our community. And of course, I'm sure they're involved in those other communities in Tupelo and down in the Ridge and Flowood area too. Those are great people, man. And the longer that I have worked with them, you know, John, the whole crew down there, they're great people. They're people that I enjoy doing business with. There's character. And there's such a void of that these days. Like there's integrity in pricing. And so you're doing business with people that do business the right way. Right? There are a lot of people out there that are willing to serve you some food, and you never know the quality of the people that are behind the service. Well, you do at Bulldog Burger Company. You do. You can go in there, and I'm kind of on a smokehouse kick, but I've decided that I got to go back to Old Faithful, the Pimentology Ed Bacon, on my next trip. And I've kind of been on the onion rings here as of late. I know that's weird because I don't like uncooked onions, but what do you say? I'm a riddle wrapped inside of an enigma. I always get the spring rolls as the appetizer when it's my choice because I need all the beauty care regimen I can get. My wife, and my beautiful wife, sometimes will say, hey, let's get the pickles or the mushrooms or the wings. And, I don't know. I say I let her choose. I don't let her do anything. She just kind of does it. But all that I understood, Bulldog Burger Company will take care of you and you and your friends and your family when you need a night out. Maybe give mom or dad a night out from cooking. It's nice to let somebody else kind of handle everything. And it's fun to be waited on too, right? I mean, it really is. When you get good service and you get good food, that's what you get at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let me give you a few highlights from the Zach Selman sit-down. The first thing that I will say is, as I mentioned, Zach Selman gave me over an hour. There have been some times before when his schedule's been a little bit constrained, and I've had like 10, 15 minutes, and that's a part of the deal, right? I mean, I'm a busy guy. He's a busy guy. It's tough for us sometimes to get on the same schedule when we're not at a sporting event, and that's not the time to have these conversations. But I can tell you, every time that I have reached out to Zach Selman about, hey, I'd like to sit down and talk to you about some things that I'm hearing from the fans or things that I'm hearing in the industry that I want to talk to you about. You know, when those rumors made the rounds, that he was going to be an expected finalist for the Texas A&M job, I didn't go to media relations. I didn't call any of my media peers and say, hey, are you hearing this? I called Zach Selman. I said, hey, Zach, what's up, man? I got some people in the industry telling me that you're going to be a finalist for the A&M job. And he's like, no, Steve, I'm not going to be a finalist for the A&M job. I think that says a lot about him. Number one, not only would he take my call and then not push me off on the red tape and the bureaucracy of the athletic department that, some other people around the country would. It's like, hey, if you need a comment about this, you need to contact media relations. Now, Zach wasn't like that. Zach's approachable. And so not only does he take my call, he tells me, he goes, hey, I'm not a finalist for that job. Anybody reporting that doesn't have the full truth. And, so you feel welcome to put that out there. Of course, I didn't attribute it to him, but I'm telling you now. My source on the matter was Zach Selman. It wasn't, somebody connected to Zach Selman. It wasn't somebody speaking on his behalf. It wasn't a media relations release, or a text from somebody in the know. It was, it was Zach. And he has told me countless times, hey, whenever you have a concern or an issue that pops up, you feel free to call me. And there are a lot of times I'll text him, like I know when we're both busy. I'll say, hey, I need like 10 minutes. Just give me a call when you can. He has never failed to call me, ever, ever. And listen, I'll tell you that I've told him some things before that are not flattering about our athletic department. Or somebody will have the wrong idea about something, and I'll tell him, and he's receptive. And I think it's important that you guys know that. It's like we had an issue, I guess it was last year, I can't remember what it was. And I won't go into a lot of detail because I wanted to protect everybody's anonymity. But I had some people contact me that they thought, certain things didn't go just right with an employee in the athletic department. And so, again, rather than, contact a bunch of other people and spread what eventually proved to be an unfounded rumor, I called Zach directly. I was like, dude, here, listen, here's what's being said. Here's what you need to know. And a lot of people would have been kind of threatened by that. And Zach's like, Hey, you know those people. You know me. You trust that they're good people. And I hope that you trust that I'm good people. If they're really concerned about it, you feel free to give them my number. And I'm happy to address it with them. Again, I think there are some people out there, when we hired Zach Selman, and, we had Zach Selman on our hot board when we first put that together, the AD search board over jeanspage.com. He was on our initial board. And then ultimately, we let you guys know even before he was hired that it was going to be him over Jared Banco, who recently just moved from Georgia Southern to rejoin John Cohen there at Auburn. I'm a big Jared Banco fan, too. And I think Jared would have done a good job for us. But I'm just sharing this with you, too, because I think, again, I'm in a position where I have interactions with Zach Selman on a regular basis, and you guys don't. And that's not to be, you know, hype me up in any way. I'm just saying I think that's one of the reasons you listen to the show. It's, you know, Steve, you've got relationships that we don't have. We want to know what's going on with our athletic department. And so we sat down today, and I've shared some things with him, and you know, on and off the record. And here's a few highlights. You can go read the article in its entirety, and it is a very lengthy read. The official interview went about 32 minutes. The visit went over an hour. Because one of the first things he did when we got there, we kind of walk over from the Bryan Building to the Hump, and he was so excited to show me some of these new spaces. And I put out a couple pictures for that stuff. I mean, you can see it. But you know, some of you will have a chance. If you're in the Courtside Club, it's a place for, you know, courtside ticket holders to kind of go and congregate before and after games. It's a really cool space. I love the ceiling in there. It's kind of got an old school feel to it. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And so we walked around and showed me some few things, and we went and sat down in the Hump. You know, we just kind of sat down, just two dudes talking ball, man. And I'm comfortable enough, I feel like I can have those conversations with him. And I feel like I can always be honest with him. I think Zach wants that. And so I rolled a few things out with him. I mean, one of the things that's been in the social media, you know, conversation for a while is like the interlocking MSU logo. There's a couple things that I want to set. Number one, set the record straight about, because there's some people out there that will misinform you because it fits our narrative. We found out in 2021, I've got a trademark attorney. I've got three attorneys, and I wish I didn't have to have any, but you know, sometimes you got to protect what you have. But I have a trademark attorney that has done some work for me in the past, and I can't remember if I contacted him or he contacted me, but this is back in 21, about the interlocking MSU logo. And somebody at the university retired. When I got down to the middle of it all, they retired, and then before they left, they didn't renew our trademark for that logo. And so I called John Cohen and called some other people that are no longer in administration. I said, hey, here's what's going on. And one of the people that were in charge of that told me, no, everything was taken care of. But it wasn't. It wasn't taken care of. And let's just say John didn't take that very well. But we were going to buy it. We were so afraid that like some third-party vendor would go buy the trademark and then hold one of the most precious marks in Mississippi State athletic history as their own property, and then begin selling, you know, third-party shirts and memorabilia, and then the university wouldn't get any of the proceeds from that. They wouldn't get the licensing from it. And then people are like, yeah, well, we feel like it, we put it out for commerce first. If it went to court, we feel like we would win. Well, I mean, if you don't renew the mark, you've basically abandoned the mark. And so we were going to buy it and then gift it back to the university. That happened in 2021. That's 3 years ago. And so when we had the big talk about the state script, there's some people that say, well, we didn't know that the interlocking was an option. Well, then you weren't a subscriber to Gene's page. And if you were, you didn't pay attention. Because I was reported readily. I even talked about it here on the show. And so I would love to have the interlocking MSU logo, period. This is one of the things that I kind of disagree with some people in the administration about. I think it is our best football branding, period. And I believe that the majority of Mississippi State fans would agree with me. We have conducted multiple online polls, and I get it. That's kind of aging some people out, right? You got a lot of people that aren't on social media, a lot of people that give a lot of money to Mississippi State, they aren't on social media. But we conducted these polls, and of those participants, we found that, you know, the overwhelming majority favored the interlocking MSU. And, you know, we brought it back last year, and I broke that story. You know, that was one of the things when we got that all handled. I said, hey, you can let everybody know next year we're going to have a game with the interlocking MSU. It was great, right? And we looked so tough, and everybody went out and bought those shirts again, right? And maybe it's the nostalgia of it, you know, because we were so good under Jackie Sherrill in the late 90s. And those are the uniforms that we wore. And so I asked Zach about it. You know, hey, what are the chances of this coming back as a more permanent or kind of a semi-permanent football logo? And, you know, he didn't come out and just outright say no, but he said, hey, we're an extension of the university. And, you know, kind of said, you know, basically kind of led me to believe it's not going to happen. And I know many of you were disappointed about that. And one of the things that he referenced is the current student athletes and the recruits. And this is one of the things that, you know, I think is worth some discussion. You know, we have players, and we want them to enjoy being here at Mississippi State. And Jeff Levy and the guys in the football staff have, like, given the players the ability to vote for their uniform combinations each week. And so they kind of decide. And someone kind of mentioned, you know, hey, we polled fans, we polled, you know, our alums, and we polled players and people like that. Everybody felt that the state script may be the better way to go. And that's not a new mark, right? And he mentioned that too. It's been around over 50 years. And so it kind of comes back, you know, it comes back into rotation. I love the state script. I've said before, the banner M doesn't work on the football helmet. And listen, we played some great years with Dan Mullen with that on there. We didn't mind as much. But I think at the end of the day, we all said, you know, our branding would probably be better, right? I mean, listen, we're not going to win or lose a game because of a logo. And we're not going to win or lose a recruit because of a logo. But I think it's important for us to always kind of recognize the fact that you need some consistent branding, right? And I think we all felt, okay, well, the state script's the way to go because we are state. We've embraced the fact that we're state again. When I was a kid, we never called ourselves MSU. We called ourselves State. We were State. And everybody in the Southeastern Conference knows us as State. And so I could get behind the state script. I think the state script looks good on a football helmet. I think it looks great on a baseball jersey. I think it looks great on a basketball jersey. I don't think that the banner M works on a jersey. I think it's too blocky. You know what I mean? It just takes up too much room. And then with that, it's kind of hard to read. But it works great on a tie tack. It works great on a diploma or letterhead. I think it's a wonderful mark for the institution itself. I just don't think it works as well with athletics. That's my personal opinion. You may disagree. I may be completely wrong here. But I know a lot of people want interlocking back for MSU. Kind of like with baseball, we have the M over S, like as our permanent logo for baseball. We'd love to have the interlocking MSU. But after talking to someone, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd love for us to bring it back for the Egg Bowl, right? I mean, just kind of fire people up. But here's the thing, too, that we have to consider. You know, those games were played in the late 90s. The players of today were not alive then. They don't have those same feelings about those marks that we do. They don't get as emotionally fired up. You know, like when we see them, it's like, okay, here we go, right? It's not like that for them. And so they're not going to vote with the Jackie Sherrill years in their hearts because they didn't live through them. They didn't experience that. They grew up with the banner M. And now here we are, right? And so, you know, I want what the players want, right? Because I'm a player advocate. I believe in giving the players some say and all that. But, yeah, I look at like Alabama. Alabama never changes, right? They never change. And for the most part, Auburn doesn't either. They may change the stripe combination around every once in a while. LSU doesn't change. You know, I don't think we should have ever changed, but now we have. We have. And, you know, for years they told us that Nike owned the logo, which isn't true. It's not true. And because I nearly owned it, you know, for a little while before we gave it back to the university. But that's not to praise me in any way, but I'm just trying to illustrate and explain here. It's not as complicated as some people have made it out to be, you know. And a lot of people say, hey, this is what the majority of us want. And I don't even know if that's true, right? I know of the people that we polled, that's true. But again, I don't know. I mean, you think that, you know, we do a Twitter poll and you get 1,000 votes and you feel excited about it. I mean, you get 65,000 people showing up at Davis Wade when it's a sellout, right? I mean, do you think those people voted in your poll? And the thing that I'm learning, too, is that majority of people don't care. that much about logo. They don't. They just don't care as much. But I think that is probably over for now. Maybe we'll revisit a topic down the road, but I don't think that's the case. Learned later this evening, we are close to signing an extension with Adidas. And I know some other people out there have been really upset about that too. You know, well, we got to get away from Adidas, got to get away from Adidas. And they say, well, where do we go? Let's go to Nike. Well, if Nike is offering us a less lucrative deal than Adidas, we can't make that deal. Nor should we make that deal. Not just so you can go buy a Nike polo, and chances are you can probably get one anyway. But Steve, it's not officially licensed. So what? So what? I mean, you ripped off music on LimeWire and Napster for years. It wasn't licensed either. That was actually criminal. But yeah, we're closing on an extension with Adidas, and I'm told that they absolutely gave us the best deal for uniforms and apparel. And again, there's always backlash. Well, Steve, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. And so the question that I ask is like, you know, what are we doing here? Right? And what I mean by that is, if the players maybe don't like the interlocking as much as we do, you know, where do we decide? You know, do we make the players wear something that they don't want to wear? We say, you know what, hey, I know you guys voted for this, but now there was a Twitter poll out there amongst some people we don't even know, and they said we're going to go with this. And you say, Steve, you're being a little bit sarcastic and maybe a little bit obnoxious. Maybe I am. But then we think about, well, I don't like Adidas, so we shouldn't wear Adidas. You know, why is it all about us? Why can't it just be about Mississippi State? And when we're talking about this Adidas deal compared to Nike, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. So do we really think the university should sacrifice millions of dollars just so you can wear your preferred apparel provider? Is that good for Mississippi State or is that good for you? I want what's best for Mississippi State. I don't know how many Adidas shirts I have. I don't have very many. You know, I don't wear a lot of that stuff. You know, I'm not the pretty boy in a polo shirt. So I don't have a lot of passionate opinions about who makes a good polo shirt. And many of you, too, that think you are pretty boys in polo shirts, you're not. The polo shirt doesn't help. But I'm just kind of sharing that out there because at the end of the day, there's a lot of great opportunities to buy Mississippi State apparel. Most of the times that I get a polo shirt, it's a gift, right? And it's usually Adidas. But I just don't get that's so caught up in all that stuff. Guys, and here's the thing, too. We've spent so much time talking about this. I want to win ball games. You're like, Steve, the little things matter. Yes, they do. False start penalties matter. Delay of game penalties matter. Attendance matters. And you're like, oh, it's just a slap in our face. When did you become so high and mighty? Listen, I get it, man. The fans are being asked to do more and more and more and more and more than they ever have. And it feels like there's no end to it. It's exhausting. It is. But watching us get beat and give up nearly 60 points to Arkansas in a different uniform is not going to make me feel any better. You know, us losing to Toledo didn't make me think, you know what, man, I wish we were wearing Nike. I was like, well, how do we lose to Toledo? You kidding me? Yeah, you got to make the main thing. You do. I mean, the little things matter. I get that aspect of it. But guys, we have right now a raging forest fire when it comes to football. We do. So forgive me if I didn't use a dustpan to sweep up that trash in the storage room. Forgive me. Because that's what we're kind of equating this to. Right now, those little things that you deem to be so important are just so far down the list of priorities, it's not worth even talking about right now. But I have, and I have now engaged your athletic director to get an answer on the record. Not off the record, I don't want any situations, hey, here's what I'm hearing, and attribute it to sources within the administration. I got Zach Selman on the record. And I addressed some other things, too, with game day management. You know, and before I could even get to some of the questions I had prepared, he kind of answered them on his own. It's like he was prepared. He goes, hey, I know we've had some issues with cleanliness. We're taking steps to fix that. And that's one of the most basic things we can do, right? I mean, every fan that steps into Davis Wade Stadium, regardless of affiliation, everybody should feel like, hey, when I go to my seat, it's going to be clean, right? That's just the basic necessity of life. No matter where you go, whether you're going to the movies or a ball game, I mean, listen, you go to the show, right? And like as soon as the show is over, you walk out the door and there's people already waiting, you know, with brooms and dustpans and things like that. I mean, they're already waiting to clean for the next showing, right? If they can do it at the movies with the people that we employ at Mississippi State that start working on that stuff as soon as the game is over, that should be the most minor thing we do is keep the stadium clean. Absolutely. And Zach acknowledges that, you know, and so let's give him a chance to fix it. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I mean, they shouldn't have to be reminded about that. It's a basic tenet of athletic administration. But hey, you got a lot of people here that are in these jobs for the first time, you know. And so I'm not making excuses for them. And that's one thing that I'll right out of the gate. Whoever is in charge of that stadium has got to do a better job. Period. It's not about friends. It's about Mississippi State. You know, again, this kind of goes back to the same thing about, you know, the logos and things like that. I don't care how well liked you are. I don't care if you shake my hand when you see me. I don't care if you go buy my books. I'm not going to defend it when our university and our fans, you know, are having to go out there and go into a stadium that's not clean and prepared for them to be there. I mean, there's no defense of that, right? And there's no amount of civilities that you can offer me that's going to make me think, ah, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And Zach Selman knows that. He knows it's not okay. And listen, all this has been communicated to him, every bit of it. And I started a thread over on the jeanspage.com message boards. And even though we had a lot of time, I didn't have time to get to everything because Zach gave some very long and detailed answers. There were some other questions, too, he kind of coach-speaked me on, right? I mean, he did. And they're his answers. They're my questions, but they're his answers. You know, and I pushed him on a couple things, too. But, you know, one of those being the IPF. You know, and he told me it's probably going to be the 2028 season. And that's subject to change. But it's probably going the other way, not this way, unless somebody steps up with a private donation to pay for it. You know, they've already engaged in an architect and some planning stuff. And, you know, they're already getting all the things together to give us a football-only IPF, which will then make Palmero a baseball-only IPF and softball, you know, a batted ball IPF. Probably some things that we can do there on the baseball side, too, to kind of, you know, modernize that facility for baseball, right? So, yeah, it's a good thing for everybody involved. But 2028, it wasn't what I expected to hear. And you know, again, we all have to understand how this house settlement thing is going to work. I mean, we're talking $25, $27 million based on what we have now. And then as revenues go up, the percentage goes up. You know, that's the life in which we live in. And so in many respects, the facilities arm races are kind of over. You know, our biggest priority right now is player retention and player acquisition. Because you know what players do? Players play games. Players win games. Winning games sells tickets. Winning games sells concessions. Winning games packs the house. Winning games sells merchandise. That's what drives the whole process. It doesn't matter what we're wearing. And it doesn't matter who provides it. And it doesn't matter which brand of hot dogs we use. If we're losing ball games over and over and over, that stuff just doesn't matter. We got to deal with the forest fire before we can go sweep up the garage. All right, it's time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, that's 601-500-2344. If you are looking to buy a home, maybe a game day condo, maybe your first home or your next home, look no further than Blair Chandler. You need to get that 23 years of experience working for you. Yeah, a lot of people out there competing for your business. Blair deserves it. Simple as that. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair. I've had several testimonials. People have messaged me and say, Steve, thanks so much. I didn't know where to turn. There's so many options out here. Guys, just cut through the noise, right? He will be your advocate with underwriting. He knows how to construct loans to give you the best chance for approval. Thus the name closewithblair.com. Be sure and check out the website. Looking to refinance. Maybe that's your bag. I don't know. You know, I know what you don't. I don't know what you're working with, but I know this, that Blair Chandler will give you a chance to get closed and get into a new home sooner than most people. Simple as that. We had one a while back, a guy that got turned down with another lender, and in less than a week's time, Blair had a closing date scheduled. It's that simple, right? Don't overthink it. Stick with the winners. Stick with Blair Chandler. All right. I'm going to talk about soccer here in the next segment of the show. But I know a lot of people, think a lot of the Ted Lasso thing, you know, the big believe thing. I'm a firm believer in belief and manifesting truth in your life. Of course, you've got to do your work. You know, I spent a lot of years out there waiting to get discovered. Let me tell you, it doesn't happen. You know, it really doesn't. You got to do your part. You got to get out there and practice. You got to get better. It doesn't matter if it's sports or professional stuff, music, whatever. You've got to do your part. But you got to believe in yourself. Kind of like Mike Leach used to say, you know, as he quoted Bigfoot, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will either. But Bigfoot, you got to be excited about yourself. And as you do stuff that is maybe unfamiliar, you get better at it. Everything gets better. Even like singing is a skill, right? I mean, it is. Some people are born, you know, like the Whitney Houston to the world, you know. You're never going to reach that acclaim, but you can get better. It doesn't matter what it is. But, you know, I share with you guys all the time. I heard this in an AA meeting once. A guy said there are two kinds of people in the world, those that believe are going to make it and those that believe they won't. And the funny thing is both of them are right. There's some truth in that. You believe in yourself. So I thought, you know what, hey, we'll do songs about belief. So here are 10 songs with believe in the title. And not all of them are positive, but I think you'll dig them. Number 10, a song off one of my favorite albums of all time. And if you have been a longtime listener of this show, you know I love the Operation Mindcrime album from Queensryche. I think it is an absolute masterpiece. When I listen to it, I have to listen to it in its entirety because there's so many little asides and things like that, like in between the songs. It is basically a rock opera. And Jeff Tate also has that 5-octave voice, so he can kind of pull off the operatic stuff. But there's a storyline in this concept album that is incredible. Even though I know how it ends, I still listen to it. Operation Mindcrime 2, not quite as good. Not quite as good. But great track on there called I Don't Believe in Love. I do believe in love. But this one's I Don't Believe in Love. It's never worth the pain you feel. I'm a firm believer, and it's better to have lost in love than never to have loved at all. Because when I'm in love, man, that's the best feeling ever. When somebody else chooses you and sticks with you and is loyal to you, as imperfect as we are, it's incredible. You know, it's incredible. And I tell Dana from time to time, it's just sometimes I'll sit at a red light, it'll hit me that somebody so beautiful and brilliant could choose to spend their life with me. But our character, Nikki, in Operation Mindcrime, did not believe in love. All right, number 9, a song kind of along those lines. It's from the Doobie Brothers, Michael McDonald. It's one of the big hits that Mike had with the Doobie Brothers. It's What a Fool Believes. You know, and we've all been in that situation before, too. You've been in that relationship. You say, everything's okay. Everything's fine. And you kind of convince yourself, you know, because we want to see the best in people. And we just think nobody would ever stab me in the back. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong about that. You are wrong about that, because we are all living a very imperfect existence here in the human condition. And there are people out there sometimes that just see you as an option rather than the option. Michael McDonald, a different kind of cat, too. Number eight, kind of getting back on track with some positive stuff, it's Cher. One of the first to ever use auto-tuning. Now everybody does, but she did it, and they really over-modulated it to kind of give the kind of an eerie sound to it. It's a great little dance track called Believe. Do you believe in life after love? Well, yes. Yes, I do, Cher. Thank you. And apparently Cher does too, as she has dated some of the biggest names ever in rock music. But yeah, great track. And a lot of people, it was kind of their divorce song back in the day, you know. It's tough, man. It really is. Breakup's the worst, because it makes you, like, even if you're not at fault, right? You try to find fault. Like, I should have done this, should have done that. And it's just so incredibly devastating to your self-esteem, right? When you have entrusted your life and your heart into the hands of somebody else, and they just take it and tear it up and throw it away like it's a piece of trash. It's just so terrible. But the life goes on. It does. Number seven, a beautiful song, and I absolutely loved this band when they came out. They had a couple of hits, but the instrumentation on this track really sets this one apart. It is a song that might even make some people uncomfortable, even though it's a very beautiful song. It's from a band called Blessed Union of Souls, and it is very poetic, and the song is I Believe. I believe that love is the answer, and I do too. I mean, it's like, you know, we always talk about war and things like that. And listen, I'm a firm believer. Sometimes that's necessary. And there's sometimes in life, too, whether it's, you know, maybe there's not weapons involved. But there is always something you have to stand up for yourself for, right? I mean, I firmly believe that, you know, love and war, you know, I believe in both. But the reality of it is that I think, you know, the key to peace is love for one another. You know, and I'm a firm believer in this too. I believe you can be whoever you want to be. I don't believe you can be whatever you want to be, because there are some limitations, but you can be whoever you want. And as long as you're not hurting anybody else, I say live your life as you choose. But when you start victimizing other people, then society has to get involved. And you can't sit here and say, well, I refuse to be a conformist. Well, when you're hurting other people, we're going to hold you accountable, and rightfully so. But this is a beautiful, beautiful song. I think you'll check it out. I think you'll enjoy that. But again, it's Blessed Union of Souls. They have another track, too, you might want to check out, too, called Let Me Be the One. Great, great, great song. Great song. I could go over this and over and over and over. Their first album was amazing. Number six, one of my favorite bands of all time, the Scorps, man. Scorpions in a great, great ballad. I don't know that it gets enough respect, to be honest with you. And so I enjoy kind of sharing these tracks with you, because, like, Steve, I know Rocky like a hurricane. I know Wind of Change. But do you know Believe in Love? Amazing song. I think it's one of the highlights of the Klaus Meine catalog. I think it's the vocalness is incredible. And it is very much kind of a sappy 80s power ballad type song. But the harmonies on this will really get to you. They do to me. All right, number five. Going completely the opposite direction. No love involved in this. It's Chuck D and Flavor Flav with Don't Believe the Hype, which is traditionally an Ole Miss standard. You know, maybe they don't sing it, but we always kind of advise ourselves of that. They're never as good as they say they are. Kind of how life is. I'm a big PE fan. Matter of fact, when I met my wife, I was wearing a Public Enemy hat. True story. Don't believe the hype. Number four, one of the coolest cats to ever grace this wonderful planet of ours. Love Lenny Kravitz. One of the main reasons I have dreads. And Lenny's are completely different than mine. But great track, man. Believe. Amazing, amazing song. And it talks about that. If you want it, you got it. You just got to believe. You know, and I'm a firm believer in that. You do your work, God will bless your labor. I firmly believe that. I do, and I think this is one of those songs, too, that there is some things they do with the vocal that kind of makes it almost haunting in some respects, but a great, great track. Number three, we don't play it anymore, in the in between the quarters, but how could we not play this song on our list today? It's Don't Stop Believing from Journey. How many of you out there had those shirts as just a small town girl? I mean, it was like it was an epidemic, man. Every time I turned around, everybody's wearing those shirts. Maroon and white shirts that say just a small town girl. You know, love small town girls. I do. I do. And I did, and you guys do too. You know, it's true. I think we being equally yoked, that's an important aspect of things. But Don't Stop Believing, great track. And I have read multiple times, and of course they always update this stuff. If something fell over there, somebody over there is messing with something. But Don't Stop Believing is like the most downloaded song of all time. Yeah, it's true. And of course, again, they always, you know, they always want to say, oh, this is new. And then later on, they go back and change it. But Don't Stop Believing is a great, great track. Number two, Poison is still our number one top 10 list of all time. Much to my chagrin, I wasn't a huge Poison fan. I joke with some people online about this stuff. Somebody said, hey, who's the best Motley Crue tribute band? I said, well, it's kind of Poison, but it's unintentional. But Bret Michaels wrote a very, very poignant and heartfelt song called Something to Believe In. And I heard this, again, really in my Poison-hating days. And I heard this, and I was like, you know what? Maybe there's a little more to this band than I thought. You know, because all we had was Talk Dirty to Me and, you know, Nothing But a Good Time. Those are all anthemic songs from the 80s. But Something to Believe In, I thought, showed a different side of Bret Michaels. And I had a chance to meet him out of Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. And I love this song. I do. And there have been times in my life that's what I really want. I just needed something to believe in. You know, you get down in the dumps and you think, man, there's nothing to feel good about. And if you give it time, the moment will pass. It truly does. And if it doesn't, you probably need to go sit down and talk to somebody. I mean, truthfully, that's not me being sarcastic. But yeah, there have been many times in my life, man, if I want to feel sorry for myself, I don't have to look long. Right? I can find something. You know, I can overthink something, some failure in my life, something that I wish I'd have done better. And this song always kind of brings me back a little bit, you know. And there's a lot about life that's unfair. I mean, it truly is. And I think when I think about all the blessings that I have in life and, you know, the places in which I sit, it even restores and enhances my belief in the fact that there is a higher power and there is a plan in life. And that we are rewarded and at times punished for the decisions that we make in life. Number one, and because I wanted to end on a very positive note, and this song probably isn't maybe the best song, but it's our number one today, because it kind of exemplifies what I think about music and what I think about life. And when I first saw this video, it cracked me up. It really did. It's so silly. And I thought, you know what? I love people that don't take life so seriously. And we're talking about the British band, The Darkness. I believe in a thing called love. And I was at a karaoke event at Hobie's on Main a couple years ago. Got up and sang Simple Man, some Depeche Mode tracks, some from Shinedown. And it was this guy that came in and it was so funny. Like, he was like the last guy in the world I would expect to sing a metal song. And he gets up and he sings, I Believe in a Thing Called Love. And we had a blast, right? It's like, it's such a feel-good song. And the falsetto is so over the top, you know. The guitar is great. It's really a throwback song, you know, to a great genre and time in music. But I think there's so many things in life, man, that beat you down. And you can use music, I think, sometimes to turn your mood around. And this is one of those songs. And I watched the video before I recorded the show tonight. But I was just, it's like, you know, why isn't more things like this, right? Where they're just kind of silly and fun, but have a rock edge to them. And, but also have a good message. You know, I believe in a thing called love. And I absolutely do. It is the best of times when you're in love. It has been for me. And listen, I get there's some people like they go into it waiting for the other shoe to drop. That used to be me. I used to be that guy. And so whenever I would start getting low adversity, I would just bail. I just like I'm out. I'm not going to go through them breaking up with me. I'm going to beat them to the punch. I'm breaking up with them. They're acting funny. We're finished. We're finished. I'm done. And that was all ego, man. That was all like, hey, you know, I'm too good to get broken up with, right? That's how I felt, you know. I'll just, and then I can go back and tell my friends, hey, what happened with you and so-and-so? I broke up with her, man. I'm sick of her mouth, you know. And the truth of the matter is I wanted to stay with her. But I wouldn't fight. I would just always just turn and run. And there's so many people out there that absolutely will not commit to somebody. And some people have been burned, you know. And there's some people, it's like, man, I just want to keep it casual. I get what I need out of this. And, you know, somebody to go hang out with and have dinner. And I got friends like that, too. I won't tell you who because you'll probably know her if you're part of the Mississippi State Twitter community. But I used to always joke with her. I was like, you don't even want a dude. You just want somebody to go places with, right? Because all your friends are married. And so when you go to these dinners, you got somebody to go with and you don't feel so alone. That's really what that's all about. And in time, she finally admitted it. She goes, yeah, I just get tired of being alone. I'm not really lonely so much, but like I don't want to go to like a couple's dinner and be sitting there with somebody else because I don't want somebody to come up and try to hit on me or something like that. And so I just have somebody that I date. And then when that person would get too close to her, then she would move on, right? Because she just didn't want to give herself. And eventually she did, and very happy for her. But yeah, I mean, it's good to have friends, I think, of the opposite sex, yeah, especially if you can keep it platonic. I think it's great to have to get the other viewpoint in life. I got so many, when I think back over my life, probably, and I'll tell you, my best female friend when I was growing up was a girl by the name of Tanya O'Quinn. Absolutely loved her, loved her. And we could never get on the same page as far as dating, right? It's like, either she'd be dating somebody or I'd be dating somebody. And then we'd say, you know, well, hey, if we're ever single, maybe we should give it a shot. And my mom used to think I was going to marry her. That's what my mom thought. She said, you know, you guys are such good friends. Y'all get along so well. You confide in each other. It's just a matter of time before y'all get together. You're going to get married. And like she would call me and just talk through all things. And, you know, we'd ride around and have a good time. But nothing ever materialized from that. But I'm still friends with her all these years later. And you know, she had some issues some time ago with this guy that she was dating. And the truth of the matter is, I think he just kind of got, you know, hey, I'm not just here, you know, to pay for everything and hang with you. And I think she grew up a lot. I really do. And they were such a good team. They're happily married now, doing great. And it makes me really happy for her. It really makes me happy for her. And again, I never had, you know, really the romantic thing. It was always like, well, since we, you know, we get along so well, when, you know, maybe we'll give it a shot one day. We never did. And it's probably the reason that we're still friends today. You know what I mean? There's some relationships you have like that that probably would not have survived the date. And that was one of them. And I remember one time we were much, much younger. And she told me one day, I'd gone off to college and all that kind of stuff. I'd gotten clean sober. And she told me one day, she said, you kind of ruined other dudes for me. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, I can't talk to them the way that I talk to you. I wish I had that. And I think eventually she found that, you know, somebody that she could talk to and confide in. And we all need somebody that we can keep it 100 with. You hear that stuff all the time. But we all need somebody that we can trust implicitly and tell them everything and them not weaponize our truth to come back and hurt us later, right? And I think she's absolutely found it. She met a great guy, a chance to meet him. It's so crazy. I was down in Hattiesburg, one of my friend's restaurants, and just went in to get a Yardbird sandwich, man. And all of a sudden, this young lady comes over to me and says, hey, are you Steve? And I was like, yeah. And she said, well, my mom said you were Steve. And I turned and looked, and it was Tanya. And went over there, got a chance to visit with her and her daughters and meet her husband. And I really, really like the guy. And he's so different from other people that she dated, you know. But it's like I think so much about that, about how much of my life, you know, how much of the misery in my life that I had was because of me trying to hang on to relationships and kind of make them out to be something that they weren't. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, this is better than being alone. But the truth of the matter is it wasn't. It wasn't better. If you got to be less than yourself to be part of a couple, then, you know, You're not in a relationship. You're in an arrangement. You know, maybe you're good with that. I'm not. That's just not me. Nevertheless, I spent a lot of time talking about this, so we're going to move on. But I hope that all of you have somebody in your life that you love, that loves you back. And I hope that you have somebody in your life that you can tell everything to and not fear judgment. You know, that's one of the things that I'm such a proponent of is, and I tell people all the time, I get a chance to speak with young people and people that are in crisis, and I tell them that they can tell me anything, and it's going to go to my grave, and it will. And I got some secrets from some other people that the FBI couldn't get out of me just because of the fact that I gave my word. And one of the things that I do when I talk to people, and I'll say, hey, you know, well, here's something about me you probably don't know. And one of the reasons that I do that is to kind of get the flow of communication going. You know, I'm going to give you a secret about me that most people don't know because I'm going to expect you to do the same. I can't help you, you know, if you're holding things in reserve. And so that's one of the things that I do. And so I hope that you know, maybe you're not as transparent as me. And there's some people that love me that wish I wasn't quite so transparent, but that's more about them than it is me. You know, I think they'd like if, you know, Steve got a haircut and just, you know, wore polo shirts from Nike or whatever. But that's just not going to happen. You know, I'm going to be authentically me. I quit living for everybody else decades ago. But I think that's one of the reasons that people feel the need or feel the comfort level with me to be able to tell me so much of their truth that maybe they're not comfortable telling their people. And it's such a relief on their face, like just that moment when you finally say it, right? It's like you've been carrying that around for so long. And you finally say it, you know, it's like, hey, and there are some guys, there's some people out there that we know, and there's people out there that we love that are carrying burdens that are just unimaginable to us. And I think being open and receptive to that, and then again, anonymity matters, you know, don't betray somebody's trust. Because once that happens, I mean, it's over. I mean, the relationship is over. The friendship is over. Like if you find out something about somebody that they need to get off their chest and you go run and tell everybody else, you're finished. Okay, it is. So love people where they are, but love them completely. All right, let's thank our friends at Campus Bookmart. I will be at Campus Bookmart this Saturday. I know you guys are excited about that. We'll do a pre-game signing at Campus Bookmart. And let me give you the details on that. And so while you're just kind of running through town, getting ready to go cheer on the Bulldogs to victory, you can come by, pick you up a copy of The Dude. So yeah, this, I'll give you a few right here just so you know. So Saturday, November 2nd, Campus Bookmart from 10 to 1 o'clock. That's just going to be a lengthy signing. I was there last Friday. I'm there again this week, 10 to 1. Doing a lot of game day signings. We're going to do some in basketball and baseball season as well. And then Sunday, the 3rd, I will be at Bookmartin Cafe downtown. That'll be from 11 to around 3. I'm going to have to scoot out of there early and get over to Dirty Noble Field to help cover postgame as State takes on Arkansas State in the final scrimmage. And then Wednesday, next week, November 6th, MSU Bulldog Shop in Meridian, 11 to 1 o'clock. That's your next little group. But Campus Bookmart has the books. If you can't make it to town, you can order online by going to campusbookmart.net. Pick yourself up some Mississippi State apparel. Go ahead and start doing your Christmas shopping because nothing makes us Bulldog fans happier than getting Mississippi State merch as a gift. We love it. We would buy it for ourselves, but even if we have it all, we'll take some more, right? And you can buy the books there, and they have all my books. So I just share that with you because of the fact I know many of you are going to be doing a lot of online shopping. This will save you a little shipping because any order over $75 at Campus Bookmart gets free shipping when you use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson, right? It's trying to save you a few bucks there, right? But I love Campus Bookmart. They know what maroon looks like, you know, so you're not going to walk out of there with a crimson shirt, you know, or somebody trying to pass it off as maroon. They know. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job buying merchandise. So be sure and check them out for your online needs. And if you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You might even get a hug. I get a hug every time I go in there, whether I buy something or not. They may not offer that service to everybody, but you never know. You never know. You may get a free hug, and we could all use a free hug or two. It's true. Campus bookmark. All right, let's talk a little about soccer. Mississippi State comes from behind to beat South Carolina. I was a little bit worried when we went down around 10 minutes. We got down early, and it felt like that entire first half that everything was a bit of a struggle for us. And it's our third game in a week, and we looked fatigued. We did. And Coach James Armstrong kind of mentioned that on Sunday. You know, we met down at the airport. It was amazing. It was so much fun to be down there. To see the happiness. We need more happiness in our lives, and we have a chance to celebrate a Southeastern Conference championship in any sport. It's absolutely worth our effort to do that. But I asked him, I said, how are you going to pull these young ladies out of the crowd, out of the clouds? Because I wondered and worried, now that we've clinched the SEC, would we show up at South Carolina? And would the fatigue of playing three games in a week catch up with us? It did. However, we won the game. We did. Yeah, Hannah Johnson comes through and just hits an absolute laser inside the near post to equalize. And once we equalize, I said, you know, we're going to be okay. We'll get another one. And to give our coaching staff credit, man, we immediately began to put the pressure up even more. We get that breakthrough goal, which is kind of on a breakaway, right? It wasn't like we would build up or rent a set piece. It's a great individual effort from Hannah to kind of free herself and get off this great shot. And then next thing you know, we're kind of ramping things up, or we're getting after them a little bit. And then Kennedy Husbands, the freshman, her third goal in four games. We start talking about, everybody's like, what's the roster look like next year? Guys, the well is deep. We have recruited exceptionally well. We've got young ladies that fit our culture. But I'll tell you, that last 20 minutes felt like an hour. Because we could not clear the soccer ball. We couldn't do it. I mean, we're on fumes. But we had just enough left in the tank to get it done. But, man, it was excruciating watching that. And they had four corner kicks in the second half, but did not a single shot. South Carolina had seven shots in the first half, and three of them were on target. We had to make a couple saves. But in that second half, we really shut them down. And, again, it's a testament to these young ladies and the coaching staff. Number one, to play three games in 7 days, but to win all three of them and to finish the Southeastern Conference portion of our schedule with a 10-0 record. We're 16-1 overall, 10-0 in a Southeastern Conference. And the story of Mississippi State soccer used to be that we'd play a very weak non-conference schedule, and then we'd get an SEC play and come back down to earth. If anything, we've only gotten better. So not only did we win the league, we post a perfect record. And so we actually win this thing with some room to spare. But, again, while it wouldn't have changed the seeding next week in the SEC tournament, like all of you, I wanted that win. Bulldogs have now won 13 games in a row. The only game we've lost, of course, was at Wake Forest, and both of those goals was a defensive miscue by us. It's not like they just – whipped us. They just took advantage of a couple mistakes. But the Bulldogs end up first place in the SEC with 30 conference points. Arkansas ends up with just 25 points. So, we beat them by a game and some change because they had a draw. They finished 8-1-1 in the league. So, we get them by a game and a half. Texas ends up third at 19. South Carolina fourth. Again, you go back and look at how the schedule played out this year. The top four seeds in your SEC tournament, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Texas, and South Carolina. And you know what? Mississippi State beat them all. Beat them all. Yeah. So it's not like, well, hey, we got by because we got a break in the schedule. We played the three other best teams in this conference, and we beat them. And one of them on their field. That was tonight. But so Auburn comes in fifth at 16. I'd like to play Auburn in a tournament. Just so we can check that box. Vanderbilt tied with them. We'll look at the tiebreakers in a second. And then Georgia and Kentucky with 13 points. Tennessee with 12. Alabama 11. LSU 11. Remember just last year, Alabama was rolling. A&M with 11. Missouri with 10. Oklahoma with 10. Florida with 5. And yes, the Ole Miss Rebels dead last with just 1.09-1 in SEC play, 5-13-1 overall. What's interesting, too, about this South Carolina team, and we touched on this earlier in the week, guys, they've lost two games all year out of 17. They're 8-2-7. A lot of draws, which tells me that maybe the scoring hasn't been there. You know, they got one forward with 13 goals. But, only one loss on the season prior to tonight, and Mississippi State gives them their second loss. So let's see if we can't see if the SEC has updated this SEC bracket for us, just so we can kind of have an idea of who we may play next week. Of course, Bulldogs going to get a bye. We won't have to play for a bit. Let's see here. Let's see if the schedule has been updated. It has. All right, so it all gets underway on Sunday with number 7, Georgia versus number 10, Texas A&M. State beat both of those teams in their own backyards. Match number 2 is 6 versus 11, Auburn versus LSU. Match number 3, Kentucky versus Tennessee. That is an 8-9 matchup that's important to us. And match number 4 is Vanderbilt versus Alabama. I don't know if you're going to watch that, but Sunday, if you just need something to watch other than NFL football, maybe this is worth your time and effort. So we get to the quarterfinals, and Arkansas will play the winner of Georgia A&M. Texas, who's number 3, will play the winner of Auburn and LSU, and your Mississippi State Bulldogs on Tuesday, November 5th. We'll take on the winner of Kentucky and Tennessee. Kentucky and Tennessee. That's an 8-9 matchup, and that'll be at 4:30. And, you go back and begin to kind of work through this stuff, and you kind of understand. But South Carolina will play the winner of Vanderbilt and Alabama. So we may see South Carolina again when all this is said and done. Because the winners of matches 7 and 8, which is the Mississippi State, South Carolina side of the bracket, will face off in the semifinals. And so chances are it's going to be South Carolina, I would suspect. And hopefully we'll have some fans down there. So again, you start working through this thing. If I had to predict it, I would say that Mississippi State is probably going to play Kentucky in our first game in the quarterfinals. And assuming we win, I suspect that we'll play South Carolina in the semifinals. And if we're fortunate enough to make it to Sunday for the championship, I suspect it'll be Arkansas. I think that's how it works. And, you know, they would love to get another swing at us. But, again, I don't know how committed we're going to be to winning this tournament because, we are a national contender, much to the chagrin of some, even within our own fan base. But, we got a chance to go do some cool things. And so, I don't know if you want to go out there and, give your best effort or not. I don't know that I wouldn't maybe get a game in, get a win in, and then maybe in the semifinals, maybe I play some younger players to rest some legs. And then if we happen to get to Sunday, we'll see how it goes. But knowing how competitive these ladies are and the fact that they've won 13 games in a row, I suspect that they're going to want to go out there and play well. And again, if you're in the greater Pensacola area, we encourage you to make some plans to attend. It is a ticketed event, but there was a time in our history that we were not going to the SEC tournament. As again, it's a very, very special group, and it's not just a one-woman wrecking crew. You know, we've got a lot of talent on this roster, and eager to have a chance to sit down with James Armstrong here in the next few days before they head down to Pensacola. Look forward to kind of getting that. But again, what an amazing job by our coaches and players. With some very, very difficult circumstances. You know, again, 3 games in a week and 2 of them on the road. And we gave them Monday off to kind of get their legs under. But again, just enough to win this game. A lot of teams, not just at Mississippi State, but a lot of teams playing that schedule with really nothing to play for other than pride in yourself and your team may have said, you know what, we got bigger fish to fry, so we're not going to get it done. But they did. They did. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're looking to bring a large group to Starkville, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. 5 bedrooms, 2 bath, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, and a good portion of that drive is a little dirt road. It takes you out into the country. It's a great, great, great place, man. It is. It's a great place, and I say a dirt road. I mean, it's, you know, it's a neighborhood road, but you kind of get my point. You got some privacy out there. Not saying you got to go out there and throw a rager, but you can go out there and have some peace and quiet and just enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, whether it's a family weekend, a couple's weekend, maybe a college roommate reunion weekend. They've got the ability to accommodate you. Full service kitchen, the wet bar, that amazing back porch area, the great fire pit area, and it's getting cooler at night. You can enjoy that. Conversations around a fire, more meaningful. Again, and maybe you want to get all your kids together under one roof. We're going to do that. Here in about 2 months, we're going to do that. We're going to get all the kids in town, and everybody's going to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and we're going to stay up as late as we want to. And we're going to play games with our kids, and mom's going to cook. And I don't know, maybe we'll even DoorDash some food sometimes too, because we're going to be up late. And we're going to just enjoy being together. That's one of the greatest joys in life, is to have all the people you love the most with you for a day or two. We're going to stay a couple nights out there. And the grandchildren will be there. And so the grand girls will get a chance to spend a lot of time with their aunts and uncle and Papa Steve and Dee Dee. And we cannot wait. I would suspect that there are people within my family that are more excited about that than they are Christmas. True story. Because we don't get a chance to get together enough. If you're one of those families or one of those friends group where you don't get a chance to get together enough, why don't you take the lead on that? Yeah, just Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The Facebook page comes up. You can check out all the amenities that are available. Some booking options come up too, Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some coin, I can help you. Book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR, the number 10, 10. Get 10% off your stay. You be the linchpin and making a memorable week or weekend in Starkville for your friend group or your family group. Just take the lead on that. Hey, just go ahead and start making the arrangements and say, hey, listen, what weekend is best for everybody? Because I want to get everybody together. You know, maybe we'll all pitch in together here and pay for this thing. But I want to get everybody together. Wouldn't that be a wonderful time? And probably a time you're going to look back as everybody gets a little bit older. And the kids get a little bit older and people get a little more, you know, distant from each other. You know, geographically, look back and say, remember that weekend we all stayed at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse? How much fun that was? Yeah, you be the agent for change in that respect. You make the plans. You'll be glad you did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay, I didn't want to spend a lot of time on UMass, but we are going to kind of go over this a little bit. You know, UMass has never won a game against the Southeastern Conference team. I don't know if you knew that. A dozen attempts and just couldn't get it done. You know, they've had some opportunities to beat Vanderbilt, didn't get it done. But let's look at the season that has been for Coach Don Brown's team. Of course, he is the former defensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. At one time, was rumored to going to be our DC under Joe Moorhead. You kind of wonder at times how that would have worked out. But Bob Shoop did a good job for us. He did. The Minutemen 2-6 this year. They opened the year with a 28-14 loss at home to Eastern Michigan. They didn't play Toledo, our friends. The Rockets beat them 38-23. And then they head to Buffalo and lose up there 34-3. So an 0-3 start to begin the season. And then they take on Central Connecticut State. And you probably didn't know Central Connecticut State had a football team until this moment. Well, UMass beats them 35-31, a barn burner of a game. The next week, they go to Miami of Ohio, lose that game 23-20. Northern Illinois host the next week, 34-20 winners over UMass. And then they play their first SEC team of the year, Missouri, 45-3 loss. And that's in October. That wasn't in the beginning of the year, 45-3. Last week, they bounced back and get a win over Wagner of the FCS, 35-7. So that's your final from last week. And so, you know, watching Don Brown's, press conference this week, if we transcribe that for free for you all over jeanspage.com, they were really excited just to kind of get a dub. And that's kind of how I feel about our team, too. It's like people are like, hey, Steve, do you think State will cover? I don't even care about that. I just want to win a ball game. I just want to win a ball game. I know many of you feel the same way. Of course, I would love to cover, but the reality of it is I just want to win. I want our players to feel like that what, you know, they're working hard and they're starting to reap some benefits from their rewards. I think that's important, man. This team needs something to feel good about. UMass or not, they need something to feel good about. And I think you and I need something to feel good about. Listen, we know we're not going to a bowl game this year, but you're hoping that the month of November will prove to be a good one for us and give us some building blocks for the future, give us a little juice heading into portal season so we can say, hey, yeah, we had some struggles, but however, you know, look how we closed out the year, how well we played, the games that we won. And, yeah, we talked on Tuesday. We talked with Kevin Coleman, and he goes, hey, progress without wins doesn't mean anything. And that's a little bit over the top, but I get what he's saying. I'm a winner, too. I want to win. I don't want it to just be a situation where we go out there and play it close. And Zach Selman said as much today, too. You know, he goes, hey, we didn't go to Texas and Georgia just to play it close. We went over there to beat those guys. That's why we came to Mississippi State, was to win those games. And I believe we're going to get to a point where we do win those games, at least some of those games. But the most important thing for us now is to find a way to go win this one. So looking at UMass, they are averaging 19 points a game offensively. They're giving up 30. And again, with that 19 points is the 35 they scored last week. They've scored 153 points this year in 8 games. Not great. Most of their first downs have come on the ground, but barely. They've got 149 first downs. 17 of them have been by way of penalty. Isn't that nuts to think about? I think that's probably the biggest total we've discussed this year. But 67 on the ground, 65 through the air. They have been very susceptible to the run, which may mean a big thing for Davin Booth and Johnny Daniels this week. On the rushing side of things, they are averaging 136 yards a game. They're giving up 170. And again, Missouri's kind of a pass-happy offense. But, they have been a team, especially on short yardage situations, that has really struggled on both sides of the football. They got 9 offensive touchdowns this year. 9 rushing touchdowns. They've given up 17. Their net rushing through 8 games, 1,090 yards. Passing's been a bit of an adventure. 129 of 224 for 5 touchdowns. 5 interceptions and 8 touchdowns. All these systems are a little bit different. But about 200 yards a game, right at 194 yards a game. Total offense, it's just 330 yards. And they're giving up 328. So you look at those numbers and you think, you know what, hey, this is a team that's probably losing. Well, they are. Kick return average, not great. But here's what's interesting. Returns given up by UMass, and I'm sure Cliff Odom will see this, and because I'm like you guys, I get kind of tired of the fair catch. I know you guys do too. UMass is giving up 33.8 yards per return. Yeah. And that's 11 of them. It's not like it's just a couple returns. Almost 34 yards per kick return. We have got to take advantage of that, period. I don't care who you're playing. When they're giving you that, it's like giving you half of the field. So you're setting up basically at midfield. You have to be able to take advantage of that. Because you know that kick's not coming down at the goal line. It's probably coming down somewhere inside the 10. You're getting 34 yards. You're already out there in the logo, right? We have to take advantage of that. We do. Punt average, pretty decent for them. It's right at 41 yards. They have allowed a few returns, but it hasn't been anything really substantial. So they're doing a decent job, covering these. It's about 9 yards a return. And I guess, when you begin to think about SEC standards, it probably is a bit much. Penalties a game, they're giving up about 66 yards in penalties. And remember, this is a team that had 17 first downs on penalty from their opponents. Third down conversion has been right at 37%. They're giving up right at 43%. So you can do the math there. Basically, 1 out of almost every 2 third down conversions are successful. They've gone for it 17 times on fourth down, got it 9 times. Probably had to do that. But the reality of it is, this is a team that is primed for the pickings. They have gone to the red zone 26 times and scored 13 touchdowns. 21 of 26 have ended in points, but only 13 are touchdowns. The red zone defense has been terrible. 30 trips to the red zone by opponents, 28 of them ended in points, and 20 of them touchdowns. And so once we get down there, we should be able to finish. That was a real issue for us last week. Red zone efficiency offensive was terrible last week. Terrible. The defense is the one that kind of takes the flyer on that. The offense wasn't much better. It wasn't. Got to deal with another mobile quarterback this week, and I'm going to have a tough time pronouncing his name. But his name is Tyson Fomachana, maybe. I think that's right. But he is actually a native of Connecticut. I don't know his ethnicity. I mean, he's obviously an islander of sorts, or the family is. But he is a guy that was recruited by Clemson and then transferred to Georgia Tech. So this is a guy that has accomplished some things with the game of football. He is the second leading rusher for 282 yards. C.J. Hester leads the team with 287 yards. I did the math too. They got like 40 transfers on this team. Trying to get it turned around. John Jalen, 262 yards. So it's kind of a three-pronged attack on the ground. But again, not been great rushing the football, but another quarterback out there that somebody else you got to account for. And a Tyson, we're going to call that to be nice. 126 of 221 attempts, 5 picks, and the 8 touchdowns. Ahmad Hostin has played in just one game, and he was 3 of 3 for just 10 yards, a long of 8. So he had 2 others for a yard apiece, I guess. But, not really lighting it up through the air. 57% completion percentage. But, you know, hey, we have had a tendency to allow people to have, season-high games. We got to do a good job there. Jacoby Kenny-James leads him with 32 catches, 566 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Appears to be the biggest threat. But T.Y. Harding is the guy you got to keep up with. He had a punt return last week. He had a 100-yard receiving game earlier this year. 11 grabs, 4 touchdowns, just 247 yards. But he's become more part of the offense here in recent weeks. Defensively, and this is where they have a lot of transfers, but Jalen Stewart's a guy that's been there for a while. Leads them with 52 tackles. He's played in all 8 games. And this is a team, too, that even with Don Brown kind of calling the cadence, they have not been able to get to the quarterback much. Neither have we. They have 9 sacks. I think we have 5. Memory serves me correct. But opponents have racked up 24 sacks against them. So maybe we can kind of break the streak there, kind of get off the schneid, shall we say. But they have been very active in pass defense. 22 PBUs for them. A lot of breakups, not a lot of picks. They have picked off just 4 passes this year. And so, I think we ought to be in good shape. I mean, it's a shame that we're sitting here talking about this. I'm not worried about winning the ball game. I just want to win the ball game. You know what I'm saying? It's like I just want to have a Sunday where I can, not have to monitor the message boards. And, honestly, when we lose a ball game, I kind of give everybody the night to vent. I think you've earned that. I think you deserve it. You're a shareholder in Mississippi State football, and when things are not to your liking, I think you're owed the right to voice your opinion. And then on Sunday, I kind of get up and clean up if it's rough, because sometimes people get a little bit deep in a jug and they drunk post, and I'll have to delete a post, and I'll get a message like, "Hey Steve, I'm sorry about that," but. But, yeah, I think we'll have a Sunday this week. We can, again, it's not any wins worth celebrating, but it's not a big win if we happen to win this game as we expect to. But, favored by 18.5 points, I guess. But, I'm eager to have a good feeling again. You know what I mean? Hey, let's get a win this week, and then, we'll see what happens next week. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. We're probably not going to be favoring the game the rest of the year, so we've got to take advantage of this one. But I remember some of our astute posters after we lost to Toledo said, "Hey, Steve, we're going to end up 2-10 this year." And I was like, "Nah, we'll figure it out. We'll beat somebody else. We'll get somebody we're not supposed to." But that's how it's shaping up right now. Now, I'd love to be able to say, "Hey, we're going to get somebody we're not supposed to." When Missouri comes in here, we'll see. And not to mention, what kind of shape is Ole Miss going to be in by the time we get to Oxford? You bring in players from parts unknown. You can talk about the rivalry till you're blue in the face, but they're not going to be as locked into that game. And I suspect we're going to want them a lot more than they want us. But I firmly believe if Lane Kiffin can get 100 points on Jeff Lebby, he will. So, you know, we'll play the Egg Bowl when we get there. Of course, that'll be the Friday after Thanksgiving. But I want to thank again all of you guys for all your support, whether it be buying the books, listening to the show, subscribing to jeanspage.com, and for all of you that do all of that, thank you so very much. Very, very, very honored and privileged to be your source of Mississippi State information. You got a lot of options out there, right? And I'm a firm believer, too, that, you know, if we stick together here as best we can, and, you know, sometimes there's going to be arguments within the family. It doesn't mean that, you know, we break up the family. You know, because it, as I mentioned on Monday's show, you know, we're always going to be here. You know, coaches kind of come and go, administrators come and go, but we're going to be here. We're true maroon. And that's not to say that we're always going to get along and we're always going to agree that what logo we should wear, what color uniform we should wear, you know, who our apparel provider is and that kind of stuff. All those things, again, we're all going to have opinions and everybody's entitled to have that. But just because we don't get what we want doesn't mean the athletic department is ignoring you. They just may not agree with you. And there's a lot of things that I've recommended over the years we still hadn't done, you know? That's important to understand too. But it doesn't change my affection and my loyalty to this university, and I hope it doesn't yours as well. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.